Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona, with another episode of Steven Anderson Exposed. So before I get into the expose, I need to do a quick little unboxing video of a gift that I received. So somebody do exactly what I wanted. So I've got the mega size box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch that's going to help me get through some of the more painful parts of this expose. So don't mind me while I make myself some Cinnamon Toast Crunch as we listen to this. So let's jump right in.
Cue that you're coming soon, you do.
Whoops. All right, let's start at the beginning.
But I want to talk about this. Now, and I've told you in 2016, introduced to that preacher that's online, independent fundamental Baptist named Steven Anderson, and from Tempe, Arizona, and I believe that he's a heretic. And he would call me a heretic. Well, that's fine. I'm not going to cuss back at him like he does to his members, which we have heard. Weren't you out there one time, Brother John? Did you go to that church? How was it? Not bad, yeah. I mean, a lot of his preaching is sound, but
he tries to get a witness from the congregation. Did you go out there to that church? What was that church like? Man, I was like, man, not bad. Oh, that kind of backfired. Well, you know, I mean, some of the stuff he says is good.
He's off on this part. And we had a family here, and they were introduced to him, and I'd actually heard of him, and they tried to introduce me to him, and they tried to get me convinced of a mid-tribulation rapture. So in 2016, I sat down and I did a huge study. I've told you that 1,000 times, so I'm saying that to benefit those that are on Facebook or YouTube. And by the way, we have more people viewing it when it says something about end times than about any other thing. YouTube's not a whole lot, but it doubled.
Okay, so he says he gets more viewers on YouTube when he talks about end times than anything else. So it's not a lot on YouTube, but it does double. So I went to his YouTube channel and looked at this. And his sermon on end times has 7 views on YouTube. It was preached 8 days ago and has 7 viewers. Now, he is telling the truth that is literally double what he normally gets, because his other sermons that he preached around that time had 2 to 3 views each. So obviously going from 3 to 7 is double. I don't know if those 3 people is like his mom. Maybe he's checking in on a couple accounts or something like that. But I kid you not, he went from 3 to 7 by covering end times. And then by bringing me up in this sermon, he goes from 7 to 13. Okay. So the growth on his channel is truly exponential. But anyway, let's get back into this here.
So I want you to understand that we're talking about a pre-tribulation rapture, as opposed to a mid-trib, which Steven Anderson says that he believes in a mid-trib pre-wrath.
Mid-trib, really? That's funny, because I don't remember coming out with a movie called Mid-Tribulation or In the Midst of the Tribulation. The film that's been viewed millions of times is called After the Tribulation. I have never, ever said that I believed in a mid-trib rapture. I have consistently said that the rapture comes after the tribulation, post-trib, pre-wrath. That's what the movie's called. That's what all the sermons are called. That's what I've always said. This bozo can't get it right. He thinks that I'm teaching mid-trib. And then he just lies. Steven Anderson says that he believes in a mid-trib. Anyway.
And I don't believe that. And I'm going to prove it to you now of why I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I did a big study, and I studied for about a year before I taught this in Sunday school as a series in 2017. And I did a huge study, because if I'm wrong, I want to know.
Liar.
I spent a lot of time in prayer. I said, God, if I'm wrong, please, I don't want to teach the people wrong. Show me what your word says. And I spent time and I prayed and I studied and I prayed and I studied. And
that is a complete lie, because there's no way that anybody who actually wanted to know the truth and actually prayed and studied and prayed and studied is going to be pre-trib, because the Bible doesn't even come close to teaching that. It's absurd. And, you know, he probably should have been doing some fasting too while he was doing all that praying and studying.
I started looking at some books, and I've got a series of books, and some of them are here. I think the rest are at the house.
Yeah, that's the studying he was doing, reading a bunch of books, not reading the Bible.
It's called Great Preaching. It's a series of great prayer, put out by Curtis Hudson. And that sounds good, doesn't it? Well, what it was is he's got a series, a volume of books, and in these books are topics and preachers that have preached on those topics. So what's written are the sermons, okay? So I start, and one of them was on the second coming, is great preaching on the second coming. So I got to reading it, and they started saying something I'd never heard before. And they were using 2 Thessalonians. Let's go to it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And remember that in 1 and 2 Thessalonians that Paul is trying to comfort the people. So verse number 1 in chapter 2 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in your mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Okay, he's trying to encourage them. If you read the first chapter, you can see that they're depressed and they're just need a pick me up, and then he's trying to give them that pick me up. So he's saying, okay, don't be shaken. You know, stand your ground, and don't be troubled. And then verse 3, he says, "But let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, that son of perdition." Now, so I get to reading this, and as I was studying, I'm reading, that doesn't work with me. Who in the right mind would say, okay, I want to encourage the people, and hey, buck up and cheer up, and hey, don't be shaken, stand up tall.
Don't you hate it when you're reading the Bible and you're just like, you know, that just doesn't work with me? I mean, he basically just read the Bible verses and just said, yeah, I was just reading that. I'm just like, that doesn't work with me. What kind of a way is that to approach your Bible? And in a moment, he's basically just going to outright reject what the Bible says and just say that the Bible that he just read, he's just going to say that it's wrong. Wait till you hear him.
Because Jesus is coming soon, but there's going to be a falling away first. And for 30 years, I heard it preached that falling away was that God's people are going to backslide. Okay. Now, I do believe the love of many shall wax cold, but that's not what it's talking about here. So I did some studying, and I went to this book that I was mentioning, and I read what the old-time preachers used to preach on this verse. And it wasn't that the people of God were going to fall away. It was something completely different. So I got to looking.
So he read the Bible to us. The Bible said, there shall be a falling away first. That's what the Bible said. And he's like, but I went and studied these old-time preachers, and they didn't teach that people were going to fall away. I mean, they didn't teach it was a falling away. The Bible said it was a falling away. But anyway, listen to this.
And let me get my notes here. And I looked at that phrase. And I pulled that phrase up in a Strong's Concordance, that phrase, falling away. And that phrase comes from a word, a Greek word, apostasia. And that word apostasia, I think, okay, we read that in our word apostasy or apocalypse. That comes from that word.
I'm sorry. He just said, you know, we get our word apostasy from this Greek word apostasia, and also our word apocalypse. So he thinks that apocalypse is the same word as apostasy. Like, you know, the Greek word apostasia, we get apostasy and we get apocalypse. Apocalypse is a completely different word. It's not even close to apostasy. It comes from apocalypto, okay? Calypto means to hide or to conceal, and apocalypto means I reveal in Greek. Apostasia is a totally different word. They just both have the same prefix of apo, but that prefix is in front of like a ton of words. And so this guy doesn't know any Greek. He has no clue what he's talking about. This guy probably doesn't even know the Greek alphabet, but I promise you that he cannot read any Greek whatsoever. That's why he's just going to a Strong's Concordance, doesn't even realize the difference between apocalypse and apostasy as far as being from two completely different Greek words. And he's going to now tell us what it really means in the Greek. But what's funny about this is that I've got a list here of all of the major Bible translations, and everybody's agreeing with the King James on this. Now, first of all, the King James says it, that's enough for me. It's settled as far as I'm concerned, because I believe the King James is right. But even all the other versions agree with the King James.
Apocalypse.
Listen to what he says here.
Comes from that word. But that doesn't make sense. And well, I got to
read
it some more.
Of course, apocalypse doesn't make sense, because that's not what it is.
And it turns out that the word apostasia is made up of two words. The first word, apo, it has a meaning to depart away from. And the word stasia, S-T-A-S-I-A, it means from the place where you were standing. So it's a departure from where you were standing.
And a butterfly is butter that flies. And a joystick is a stick that brings you joy. I mean, what in the world? This guy doesn't know anything about Greek. He's just making stuff up.
That's the rapture. That's what that's talking about. The rapture. And a light went off. Bing!
The light didn't go on, a light went off.
It was an LED light. It was really bright. I can't even spell LED, Brother Jim. And I said, there it is. I could have had a V8. Y'all remember that commercial? Oh, you guys are youngins. Remember that, Brother Bill? Oh, yeah. I don't even like V8. But I got to read that. Hey, that's the rapture. A departure from where you're standing. In fact, when you study a little bit more, it's a rapid, violent.
Oh, if you study more, it's a rapid, violent departure. Now, first of all, when did the rapture get violent? Is what I'd like to know, number one. Number two, what in the world is he studying to get rapid violent from the word apostasia? I don't care how much Greek you read, you're never going to come up with rapid violence for the word apostasia. See, he's just making stupid things up, and he's just reading preachers from the past that made stupid things up. None of this is true, but the congregation doesn't know because they don't speak Greek. So this is what's so dangerous about pastors getting up behind the pulpit and going back to the Greek to tell you something. You have no way to even check because it's all Greek to you. And so he just is saying these absurdities. Anybody who actually reads Greek knows that what he's saying is absurd right now, but he can get away with it because they don't know. But let's go over to Bible Gateway where we can just type in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. See in all English translations. Okay. Because this guy's claiming that if you go back to the Greek, it's the rapture. It's not a falling away. It's not apostasy, it's a rapture. So let's go down the list of versions here. I mean, we've got falling away in the ASV, amplified version, apostasy, abandonment of the faith, apostasy. I'm just going down the list of all these Bible translations into English. Falling away, apostasy, rebellion, apostasy, rebel, apostasy, apostasy, revolt, turning away from God, falling away, rebellion, rebellion, turning away from God. We're going to come back to the Geneva Bible in a moment. Let's skip that one for now. I'm going to come right back to it. A revolt, a rebellion, apostasy, turning away, rebellion. Let's see here. Falling away, falling away, falling away, rebellion, rebellion, falling away, rebellion, revolt, apostasy, 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 rebellion, turning away from God. I mean, do I need to go on here? Every single version here is saying something along the lines of falling away, turning away, apostasy. And obviously, you know, the King James saying it is enough. But he's not only attacking the King James version. He's not only saying that the King James is wrong when it says falling away, because obviously things don't fall up. Falling away clearly isn't the rapture. But he's saying that every English Bible is wrong. So all of the 54 scholars that worked on the King James Bible who were experts in Greek, they're all wrong, and Slim here is right, because he checked it in the Strong's Concordance, and he figured out what these words mean, even though he doesn't know any Greek whatsoever. Okay. Now, the only one that doesn't say something like apostasy or falling away on this list of Bible verses is the Geneva Bible, okay? The Geneva Bible says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a departing first, and that man of sin be disclosed, even the son of perdition." And some bozos who believe that this is the rapture have pointed to the Geneva Bible because it just kind of has this generic just departing. It doesn't say what they're departing from, except that at the bottom of the Geneva Bible is a footnote written by the translators that says, next to verse 3, "The apostle foretelleth that before the coming of the Lord there shall be a throne set up clean contrary to Christ's glory, wherein that wicked man shall sit and shall transfer all things that pertain to God to himself." And listen to this. "And many shall fall away from God to him." So in the footnote of the Geneva Bible, they explain, here's what we mean by a departing. It's a falling away. King James says falling away. Every other English Bible in existence that is listed here on Bible Gateway, which is scores of Bibles here, all say falling away or something like that, turning away, apostasy, whatever. And so, no, the translators of the Geneva Bible weren't stupid enough to believe this. It's absurd. It's madness. It doesn't fit the context. It doesn't make any sense. It's not what the Greek word means. And this guy, I wonder if this guy claims to believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God, because he basically just gets up, reads from the King James, says, "That doesn't work for me. Let's go back to the Greek," makes up some other definition, and just says, "Well, that makes way more sense." So I guess everything in the Bible is just up for grabs. If he reads something that he doesn't like or doesn't agree with or doesn't make sense to him, he can just redefine it into something. Even if no Bible says that, even if every English Bible disagrees with him, even if all the scholarship that went into the King James or any other version all disagrees with him, well, you know what? He's got it all figured out, because pre-trib, that's why.
Departure from where you were standing. The reason they use it for falling away is because it can be used in the sense that you've departed from where you once stood. Apostasy. But in this sense, in the context. You see, when you study the Bible, you've got to take it in its context as well. I was talking to one man, I've mentioned this before, I'll mention again, that he was a Calvinist. Believes that God chooses. You can go to heaven, you go to heaven, you can go to heaven. Yeah. Oh, no, your birthday's on the 16th of January. You're good to go. Miss Leona, it's all over for you. I don't know. But that's what they believe. And I asked this guy, I said, do you not understand the theme of the Gospels? And this guy, sorry, Brother Hardesty, he's a teacher. He said, there's no theme in the Bible. What? There is a theme, and there's many themes in the Bible. The theme of the gospel is whosoever will. So in the study, and the reason I'm mentioning that is because they'll take one little verse and they'll run with it. Now, that's how they do Matthew 24. One little verse. Oh, this is what I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe this. Here it is. Boom. And they take that as doctrine. But
at least we have a verse. And we don't have a verse. We have tons of verses. In fact, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is proving him wrong because it says that the day of Christ is not at hand and that it will not happen unless there comes a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's rejecting what the Word of God says and changing it to something that no English Bible says. And then he's saying that Matthew 24 is our only text. No, 2 Thessalonians 2 is a major text for us as well. Of course, we could point to 10 other texts. Matthew 24 explicitly comes out and says, after the tribulation, Christ comes in the clouds, the trumpet sounds, etc. That meaningless anecdote that had nothing to do with anything about his strange conversation with a Calvinist that the story doesn't even sound realistic. The story doesn't even make sense. And he says he's telling it for the second time. You know, if you're going to repeat a story, at least make it a good one. I mean, that story was kind of just a nothing burger. But anyway.
But you can't get doctrine from one little verse. You've got to take it from what the Bible teaches. The context of what's being taught. And the context in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about the rapture. But I can go on and prove it even more. You want to do that? Doesn't that sound like fun? Let's keep reading. This is fun. This is fun. I'm going to keep reading. Where was I? Verse 4. Okay, let me read verse 3 again because we've got to get back to that last part. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's the rapture. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who's that? That's the Antichrist. Okay, we can go in other places, Daniel chapter 7, and we talk about that. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, that's what the Antichrist is going to do, and that is worshipped, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. That is a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, now it's Paul talking, I told you these things. So he's bringing back to memory, hey, this is what we talked about. Buck up. Verse 6, and now you know that with what withholdeth what he might be revealed in his time, talking about the Antichrist, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The mystery of iniquity, what's that? That is the spirit of Antichrist according to the book of 1 John. Okay? The spirit of Antichrist is the mystery of iniquity. All right, so for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let. Now, who is he that now letteth? In other words, who is it that keeps the spirit of Antichrist at bay? That, ladies and gentlemen, is the Holy Spirit of God that keeps the Antichrist at bay. It keeps the Holy Spirit keeps the spirit of Antichrist at bay.
Of course, there's no mention of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
He's just saying that that's who the he is.
Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Who's being taken out of the way? The Holy Spirit.
Okay. How in the world can anyone read this passage and say the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way? The Holy Spirit is God. Okay. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit is God? How do you just take God out of the way? Well, if we can just get God out of the way, folks, impossible to get God out of the way. You know, David says in Psalm 139, you know, whither shall I flee from thy spirit? You know, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. You can go to all different places and to the depths of the sea and to the outer reaches of the universe. God's spirit is everywhere. This is so weird, this teaching that says that the Holy Spirit is going to be taken out of the way. You see, the word he is a pronoun. It should have an antecedent. He who I now letteth will let shall be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit's not mentioned anywhere in this passage. And he just inserts this and just says, see, the Holy Spirit gets taken out of the way. Folks, there are various beliefs about who the he is. But one person that I'll guarantee you that it's not God. Because God doesn't get taken out of the way. But this is his one big clear verse for the pre-trib rapture. And it's clear as mud. The Bible clearly told us that the day of Christ and our gathering together unto him is not going to happen unless there comes a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So the Antichrist is going to be revealed before the rapture. Why? Because the rapture takes place, according to Matthew 24, after the tribulation. Okay, that's what the Bible actually says in Matthew 24, 29 through 31. And so, this is his big gotcha, is this he who now letteth will let business. And I've done a bunch of videos and sermons on this. I'm not going to rehash all that. But it's a joke. Taking God out of the way, take the Holy Spirit out of the way, it's not valid.
So when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, the spirit of Antichrist can come in and set himself up in the temple and claim to be God. Only when the spirit of Antichrist, he can only do that when the Holy Spirit is out of the way. Okay, so when he sets up in the temple, the Holy Spirit's got to be gone. Where's the Holy Spirit live? In my heart. Did Jesus not say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? The Holy Spirit comes into our heart and seals us until the day of redemption, according to Ephesians chapter 4. And so he sets up our heart, seals it, and that's where the Holy Spirit lives, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is that not Bible? So when the Holy Spirit is gone, where are we going to be? We are going to be gone.
Here's another thing that's totally ridiculous about this, is that the pre-tribbers claim that after the rapture, multitudes and multitudes of people are going to be getting saved. Because when you point to the great multitude in Revelation chapter 7, of all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples, a multitude that no man can number, and it says, these have come out of great tribulation, and they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The pre-tribbers will tell you, oh, those people in Revelation 7 are people who got saved after the rapture. They're the tribulation saints. That's what they claim. They claim that those are all people who all got saved after the rapture, tribulation saints. So riddle me this. How in the world, according to this guy's beliefs, can multitudes of people get saved after the rapture if there's no Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit is who actually quickens us. You know, we're quickened by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is necessary for our salvation, right? It's the Holy Spirit of God who actually works in the hearts of people in order for them to be saved. But this bozo just finished telling us that the Holy Spirit's been taken out of the way. God's out of the way. Holy Spirit's out of the way because he says the Holy Spirit lives in Christians and the Christians are all gone. So the Holy Spirit's gone. It's all made up garbage. Because, hold on a second, if the Holy Spirit's gone, then no one would be able to get saved. So their doctrine doesn't even make sense. And not only that, if all these multitudes of people are getting saved after the rapture, why don't they have the Holy Spirit? Why aren't they indwelled by the Holy Spirit? This makes no sense. Because it's not biblical, and it's a made-up doctrine by somebody who is just doing everything they can to not accept the fact that the pre-trib rapture is a lie and that it's not in the Bible. And so they have to just twist scripture and turn passages on their head in order to teach this.
That is the rapture. That's got to take place before the son of perdition sets up as the Antichrist. That is what starts the tribulation period. We'll prove that when we get to Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9, and probably into Daniel chapter 12. So when he sets up that as being the Antichrist, the Holy Spirit is gone, and that means we've got to be gone as well, because the Holy Spirit has sealed us till the day of redemption, and if it's not so, if the Holy Spirit leaves us, then Jesus is a liar, and Jesus is not a liar. So therefore, I am convinced, and I will take to the grave with me, the fact that Jesus is coming in the rapture of his saints before the tribulation period takes place.
You see, he just makes up this big story about how we know the Holy Spirit's taken out, so then he turns it around like, well, if the rapture's not pre-trib, then that would mean the Holy Spirit left without us. And then Jesus would be lying. You know, he just makes up this whole scenario, this whole crazy story. There's no mention of the Holy Spirit in this passage. Where did the Bible say in 2 Thessalonians 2, the Holy Spirit shall be taken out of the way? It said nothing like that. It didn't say holy, and it didn't say spirit, okay? But yet this guy has just built this whole big doctrine, and this is how the whole preacher of rapture is like this. This is how they read the Bible.
According to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. That's how you study the Bible.
In no Bible on the planet.
Oh, I wish we had
every
more time,
Bible on the planet says
o'clock.
Falling away.
Let me go on.
It doesn't say rapture.
Y'all don't have any place to be, do you? Daylight savings. Hey, don't worry. Congress is all the problems in the world, they're going to make sure we don't have daylight savings, or we're going to keep daylight savings all the time. I'm going to stop right there. Tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Dating myself. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you, Miss Anna? No. Yep. Oh, you remember that. Don't remember Jax, but you remember Adam West. Okay. We need to pray, get ourselves out of this mess. Father, dude, we do love you tonight. Thank you that you're coming soon.
Did he just say, Father, dude? We need to get out of this mess. Yeah, your sermon is a mess. Let's hear that again. Was that Father, dude?
We need to pray, get ourselves out of this mess. Father, dude, we do love you tonight. Thank you that you're coming soon. We do.
All right, folks. Anyway, if you want to learn more about the subject, if you haven't seen our documentary film, After the Tribulation, be sure and watch it. There are a lot of places online where you can watch it for free. After the Tribulation, it's packed with Bible. And this guy is out to lunch big time because, you know, literally every single English Bible disagrees with him. But he went to Strong's Concordance and he went to the Greek, even though he doesn't know any Greek at all. I mean, maybe this guy can... You know, he doesn't like our film, After the Tribulation. Maybe he can make his own film. He can call it My Big Fat Greek Theologian. All right? God bless you. Have a great day.